The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
What is the extent of overcrowding in our prisons? Claire Daly, Independence for Change TD and member of the Oireachtas Justice Committee. You have been looking into this. You're after getting some figures. What have you found?
Well, I suppose the first thing to say is it's taken us months to actually get the information. Originally, we had table questions to the Minister trying to find out, as a result of contact we had from the chaplain in Clover Hill, who was very concerned at the amounts of prisoners sleeping on floors. In the summer, we got sort of basic answers, average figures, and we had to spend really months teasing out information. We were given figures for very high numbers, hundreds of people sleeping on floors over a monthly period in Clover Hill. When we inquired what was going on there, we eventually got information from other prisons. Interestingly, we saw then a drop in Clover Hill after we started asking, with hundreds then waiting in other areas, with the figures released there recently where they said that there were 674 inmates without a bed during July at the Midlands prison, which is quite astounding. So I suppose there's a couple of aspects. One is, you know, that's obviously a very, very serious situation in terms of the prisoners themselves, for staff, and also causing a lot of difficulty for us in terms of not getting accurate information.
And what about the conditions in the prisons, just beyond even just having to sleep on floors? Are these old or modern prisons? What sort of conditions? How would you describe them?
Well, no. And that's the ironic thing. I mean, the figures we've been given recently would show Clover Hill, Limerick men's and women's, the Midlands, Castlereagh and Cork. So while the prison authorities might say, oh, look, we're down a bit of capacity here because of renovations, in the likes of Cork prison, which is brand new, that's absolutely not true. And if you look at the figures and the statement put out today by the Jesuit Centre, who have done a lot of research on this area, and you look at the figures they've given, the worrying situation here is that actually a lot of these prisons are under capacity, so they're operating below capacity, and yet you have these hundreds of people sleeping on the floor. So clearly the implication being it's a management issue. Now, maybe some of that is due to segregating prisoners for gang-related issues or whatever, but the big problem here is that we don't have the data to inform proper, adequate penal policy. And I have to be honest and say there's been a real reluctance from the Department of Justice to get that accurate information from them. So it's clearly very difficult for the people who are on floors, maybe sharing facilities with people who have other health problems, mental health problems, all the stresses that go into prison life, not to mind the implications on staff. And the fact that people are supposed to be in prison as punishment, not for punishment, and we're supposed to be rehabilitating them back into society. So how can prison staff do that? How can they access training and all that stuff if those conditions are ongoing? So it's actually quite a serious situation.
We're having it happen. John Cuff is with us as well, former prison officer, author of Inside the Monkey House. Okay, what's the solution to this, John? Is it a question of building maybe additional prison capacity, new prisons, or is it actually reducing the numbers who go to prison?
Well, Matt, I agree with everything that Claire has said there. Department of Justice is virtually impossible to get any information from. I think there should be far more open. There are many solutions, but to get any solution, it has to be multi-partnered. Yeah. Stop putting people to jail for fines, small fines, ridiculous stuff like that. Take it from source, take it from their welfare, take it from their wages. Decide who you actually want to send to prisons. I mean, before you ever build a prison, I think you'd be a very brave politician to come along and say, you know, we're going to build this prison, that prison, and the other prison. And prison staff actually need new space. And then turn around and say, but our hospitals are crowded, people are on trolleys, people are homeless, the housing situation. So prisons have to take their place in the queue. I worked in the prisons, and there's nothing more demoralising. I worked in Aberhill for many years, and so it was single cell because it was for sex offenders. I worked in Castlereagh. We had two huge rooms there towards the end of my career there, and we had 16 prisoners lying on floors. It's absolutely, it's third world. You can organise nothing. You don't know where they are. They're completely disorientated. Some people are in for, we had a guy in that just couldn't pay a bill when the crash came in 2007. And this guy's put in with probably 12 or 13 hardened criminals as such, and the guy was just absolutely hadn't a clue what to do, and you're juggling people around. Naturally enough, of course, you need to build prisons, but before you build a prison, you've got to look at what's feeding people into prisons. Who do we put to prison? A lady went to prison there not so long ago because she opened a packet of crisps down in a shop.
She did criminal damage after about 30 previous convictions. And there are these people, John, who will say that you actually have to have the potential for sending somebody to prison to get certain people to behave.
I agree 100%, Matt. Without a doubt, and there is. Unfortunately, people will look at that as a headline. You will then look at other cases where people that you think for violent crime, for very serious crime, for aggravated robbery, for assault on people, get very short sentences or get something substituted. And I think, you know, I don't want to kind of come down right wing, left wing or anything like this. I think there's a class. I think if you're from a certain class, you will go to jail quite handily. And I think that if you have the wherewithal, you will stay out of jail to a degree. I think we've got to decide of who we're putting into jail, why we're putting them into jail, and make jails work. But for that to work, everything has to link along the way, Matt. It can't be just, if we go out and build and create 1,000 spaces tomorrow morning, you will fill them within a year, they'll be filled, like, you know.
Well, actually, there's lots of listeners actually texting and saying they'd be quite happy to see the state spend money on creating extra prison spaces. Maybe it would be a populist move, John.
Former prison officer, I think there's not a prison officer in the country that wouldn't agree with that. That would be absolutely fantastic. But I think we've got to look beyond that. I think if we're going down the road of jailing people constantly, you know, we don't want to lose a balance in society, Matt. Like, you know, we already have enough problems between, we'll say, the housing and the hospitals and all of these things, I think. And if the solution is to start building more jails to feed people into them, you know, it's not comfortable working in something like that. I have absolutely no bother locking up what you call real criminals. And real criminals, there's only one place for them. That is behind bars.
Let me go back to Claire on that. Because
it would be a lunatic thing to do, to spend money on building extra prisons, particularly when we do have all the problems with housing, hospital waiting lists and so on. The reality is, to send somebody to prison costs a hell of a lot of money. It costs about $70,000 a year to keep somebody there. And if you look at all of the evidence-based research that has been done into the backgrounds of people who end up in prison, many of them, not all of them, they're obviously the hard cases and the people who do need to be incarcerated. But if you look at the backgrounds where people come from, their educational achievement limits, mental health problems, drug problems, all of these issues, which if the society spent money earlier on in those people's development, early on, they wouldn't have ended up interfacing with the criminal justice system. So if we want to make society safer, we need to invest the money earlier on to stop people going down there and to help people rehabilitate themselves. Because unless we're going to throw away the key, which is going to cost us an absolute arm and a leg, these people are going to end up back out in society. So when they're in prison then, the time has to be spent rehabilitating them on that. But a lot of people who are in prison are there for very minor matters, which could be addressed through, for example, community service. There's been an alarming drop in the rates of community service, which actually would help to restore a bit of justice in the community, undo some of the damage maybe that some criminals had done or whatever. It's far more effective and cost effective, to be honest. But instead, we're incarcerating people there. And if we're incarcerating them in conditions whereby they are, you know, put into facilities shoulder to shoulder or floor to floor with people who've other complex needs and that, it's certainly not going to help them rehabilitate and go back into society. So we're fooling ourselves. It's a complex issue, and the solutions are not straightforward, but they're certainly not about building new prisons.
Okay, the line is breaking up, so I'm going to put that out to listeners. What do you want? Do you want to make it harder for people, for small fines and various other misdemeanors, to be sent to prison, to keep prison for the real criminals? Or would you like to see further space and capacity constructed, even though that it would be a big cost to the state, money that could be spent, for example, on the health service?
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.